Welcome to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Broder. Last time, we spoke about lessons that we can learn from the first kinnah that we say on Tisha B'Av night. Today, we'll be discussing inspirational messages from kinnahs 2, 3, and 5, which are also said on the night of Tisha B'Av. Hopefully, hearing these words will put us in the right frame of mind during the 9 days. The second kinnah speaks about how the tefillah of Vihino Am is omitted on Tisha B'Av that falls on Matzei Shabbos. What this refers to is the fact that normally, at the conclusion of Shabbos, a prayer beginning with the words Vihino Am is said. However, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Saturday night, that tefillah is excluded. Why would that be? What is it about the prayer Vihino Am that is inconsistent with Tisha B'Av? One explanation is that Moshe Rabbeinu had composed this tefillah of Vihino Am as a blessing to Bnei Israel upon the completion of the Mishkan, which was the prototype for the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, it wouldn't be proper to say this tefillah on the night that the Batei Mikdash were destroyed. But I'd like to suggest another explanation that has an important message for all of us. One phrase in the Vihino Am tefillah means Hashem will send angels to protect you. This is referring to the weekday angels that join us at the conclusion of Shabbos. Normally, we greet these weekday angels on Matzei Shabbos with the Vihino Am prayer, just as we welcome the Shabbos angels on Friday night by singing Shalom Aleichem. However, we can't greet these weekday angels when Tisha B'Av falls on Saturday night because there's a prohibition against offering a greeting on Tisha B'Av. This restriction informs us as to the behavior that we should be practicing the rest of the year. The fact that we are barred from greeting people on this singular day lets us know that every other day we should acknowledge people that we encounter and address them warmly. When we greet someone, we not only recognize their presence, but also show them respect. We're demonstrating that we value them and affirm their worth. The following story illustrates how a simple greeting can be life-saving. There was a lady who worked at a meat distribution factory. One day in the late afternoon, she went into the meat freezer to inspect something. Somehow, the door closed and she was locked inside with no help in sight. Although she screamed and knocked with all her might, no one could hear her from inside the freezer. 5 hours later, after the other workers had gone and the woman was on the verge of death, the security guard of the factory opened the door. She was miraculously saved from dying. The woman asked the guard how he had come to open the door, since this wasn't his usual routine. He explained, "I've been working in this factory for 35 years, where hundreds of workers come in and out every day. Most people treat me as if I'm invisible, but you're one of the few who greet me in the morning and say goodbye to me every evening. This morning, you greeted me as you always do. But this evening, I realized that I hadn't heard you say goodbye. You see, I look forward to your morning and evening greetings every day because they remind me that I'm someone worthwhile. By not hearing your farewell today, I thought that something might have happened. That's why I went searching everywhere for you." In this story, the act of greeting someone literally saved a person's life. But even if our greetings don't have such a monumental effect, they can certainly uplift other people and increase their sense of connection to those around them. This is especially true when our greeting includes a smile and expresses genuine caring. We have no idea what's happening in other people's lives. Someone might be going through a really tough time, and a warm greeting from us will brighten their day. Or a person might be feeling isolated and alone, and our greeting might be the most meaningful interaction that person has all day. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was meticulous in making sure that every person with whom he came in contact received a warm greeting. In fact, it's said about him that no one ever managed to greet him first. Given the importance of greeting others, one might wonder why Tisha B'Av includes a prohibition against doing so. Wouldn't you think that on Tisha B'Av, of all days, we should go out of our way to offer others a greeting? One reason for abstaining from this social etiquette is that on Tisha B'Av, we take on the practices of mourners, since we are mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Just as an Avel would find a cheerful greeting to be out of touch with what he is experiencing, that's how we should feel on Tisha B'Av. Another reason is that a greeting serves as an invitation to conversation. But on Tisha B'Av, we should be focused on our grief rather than engaging in small talk with those around us. Without the greeting as an opener, conversation is discouraged. There's a side benefit to this halacha of barring greetings between people. It allows each of us to get a small taste of what it feels like to be ignored or excluded. Not offering a greeting fails to acknowledge the other person's existence and strikes at the heart of the most basic of human needs, inclusion and social interaction. Perhaps this experience, however brief, can raise our sensitivity to the importance of greeting everyone with whom we come in contact. This sort of acknowledgement creates warm feelings between people, which is the essence of Ahavas Yisrael. Let's move on to kinnah number 3, which explains why the date of the 9th of Av was designated as the night of sorrow. The reason for this is that it was on this date when the spies who had scouted the land of Israel came back with their evil report. Bnei Yisrael spent the entire night of the 9th of Av crying that they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. As recorded in the famous Midrash, Hashem said, "Tonight you are crying for no reason, but in the future you will have reason to cry on this night." The lack of emunah that the Jewish people displayed at this time caused this date of Tisha B'Av to be selected as the time of many tragedies. There are many sins that Bnei Yisrael committed in the desert. Why was this sin considered so severe that its date was designated for misfortune? The Jewish people had faced much adversity, but each time Hashem had come to their rescue. When they were enslaved in Mitzrayim, Hashem freed them. When they were trapped at the Yam Suf, Hashem split the sea for them. When they didn't have anything to drink, Hashem caused a rock to provide water. And when they didn't have food, Hashem brought down man from the heavens. There was no problem that Hashem hadn't solved for them, and yet they still doubted Hashem's ability to help them conquer Eretz Yisrael. How could they have had such a lack of emunah after everything Hashem had done for them? The takeaway message from this is that we need to strengthen our bitachon in Hashem. Sometimes we find ourselves in a tough predicament and we think there's no way to resolve the situation. In those moments, we need to remember that nothing is too difficult for Hashem. There is no issue that a person is having that Hashem can't help with. Sometimes we tell Hashem how big our problems are. Really, we should tell our problems how big Hashem is. Here's a story that illustrates this mentality. There was a boy in yeshiva who was always misbehaving and getting into trouble. The Rabbeim and administration tried everything to turn the boy's behavior around. They finally resorted to threatening the boy that if he got in trouble again, he would be expelled from the yeshiva. One thing that the administration hadn't done was contact the boy's mother. The administration felt that there was no point in telling the mother, since she wouldn't be able to change her son's behavior anyway. They thought, why burden her with knowing that her son was disobedient when there was nothing she could do about it? Of course, the boy continued to act up, and the administration finally decided that they would have to remove the boy from their yeshiva. The principal called the boy's mother to tell her of their decision. Not surprisingly, the mother wanted to know why this was the first she was hearing about her son's behavioral issues. The principal explained their thinking, that there was nothing the mother would have been able to do to improve her son's behavior, so they chose to spare her the disappointment and aggravation of knowing what was going on. The mother heard this and replied, "What do you mean that there was nothing I could have done? I could have davened to Hashem to help my son." When the principal heard this, he realized that indeed they had deprived her of the opportunity to seek Hashem's help, which could have changed the whole situation. A mother's cry of despair for her son, and really anyone's heartfelt tefillah, can have a huge impact. Recognizing their mistaken reasoning, the boy was allowed to remain in the yeshiva. What an incredible mother and what tremendous emunah she showed. That's how we need to approach the tough situations that we face, knowing that we can always turn to Hashem and have bitachon, that he can help us overcome our problems. The final kinnah that we say on Tisha B'Av night is based on the Midrash, that on Tisha B'Av, Hashem aligned all the mazalot, the constellations, against the Jewish people. In this kinnah, the mazalot now cry for their role that they played in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, the constellations have no free will to determine their alignment. Instead, their configuration is determined by Hashem. This kinnah is meant as a sort of kal v'chomer, an a fortiori argument. If the constellations regret the part that they played in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when in fact they had no choice to act any differently, certainly we, who chose to violate Hashem's commands and thereby caused the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, should feel remorse and resolve to do better. This doesn't just apply to those Jews who sinned many years ago, but to us as well. Chazal tell us that any generation in which the Beis HaMikdash isn't rebuilt is considered responsible for its destruction. This means that our actions today are preventing the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The message for us is to do tshuva, which means repenting for our sins and resolving to do better. Tshuva isn't simply a side point of Tisha B'Av, it's the main point. This isn't something that's obvious to everyone, but it's crucial to understanding the essence of this sad day. Tisha B'Av isn't just a time to sit down and distantly remember the horrible events that happened in the past. Instead, we're meant to learn lessons from what happened and apply those lessons to our lives. Hopefully, if we do this, we can bring about the ultimate redemption in the near future. In the next recording, I hope to explore with you a surprising statement by the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. He says that every person can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. This is shocking, especially because we know that no one ever attained the level of greatness that Moshe Rabbeinu did. How then can the Rambam make the claim that every single person has the ability to be like Moshe? I hope you'll join me for this interesting discussion. Thank you for listening to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. This year is dedicated Le'iloi Nishmos Paraleia Bas Shlomo David and Shaul Ben Baruch. Rabbi Peggy Weiss was Nifteret on Ches Tishrei, 2014. Rabbi Saul Weiss was Nifter Dalet Siv on 2019. In the merit of our learning, my parents' neshama should have an aliyah.